Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Tes. Shabbos Nun Tes. We are up to the top of Nun Tes Mun Aleph, but just to review, and one other point that I did not get to mention in the last year, and that is the Gemara tells us on daf Nun Ches the difference between invols, different types of bells, if it's missing the hanging clapper inside, if it doesn't have it. So the Gemara was machalik between whether it had it or not, and the Brisa said that Nitlu in Vilehen, if it used to have it, even though it doesn't have it, it still remains Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara asked, why is that? Lamai Chazu, what's it roi for? Just the outside of a hanging bell. What's it roi for? So the Gemara is going to have three different answers to answer the question. We already did two of them. Answer number one was Abaya. Abaya said on Chesma Beis, Hoel Shehahedyo Yachol Hachziro. Since, even though it's separated now, the inner hanging item is separated from the outer shell, but still, anybody could get it back in, a hedyo could get it back in, and therefore, it's considered as if it's back in, it's not really considered broken, it's still mekabel tumah. Rava did not like that, because he felt that there was a Mishnah that was against Shitas Abaya, so that's why he gave the second answer, that was the last point we did, that you could still use it for its original purpose. You could still make a sound with it. You're right that the hanging clapper is not inside, but you could still use the outside and just bang it on a surface and still make a banging sound. So that's why that is good enough. Just one ha'ara before we get to the third answer. One ha'ara on that first answer. Abaya said, since a hedyo can be machzirit, sometimes we don't consider that building anything. If you have an item that can be put back together by a regular simpleton, by a hedyo, you don't need an artisan, a craftsman, so that's not considered building anything. It's already, you know, nechshav built even beforehand. This comes up in a rabbinic context, in a drabbanan context, in Tvilas Kalim. Tvilas Kalim, one of the big questions of Tvilas Kalim is what to do Lamaisa with electric utensils, toasters, urns, George Foremans. You know, how does one tovel those types of items? So there are some poskim that say, a minority of poskim that say, that there's no need to tovel them. There's no need to. The Chelkas Yaakov from Switzerland, from Zurich, he has a tshuva where he discusses this. And he says, Vashela, im ha-mateches ha-nal tzorach tefila k'den kli suda. Do we say that the mateches, the metal, it's made out of metal. Metal is usually a material that requires tefila. So do we say that requires? Aval da'aka, she'ef shalat bilo, l'tach v'l'tocha mayim, but you can't put it in. Ki ha'idei she'nechnas in mayim l'tocho, miskalklin chuteach hashmal she'besocho, is going to ruin it. So if it's totally going to get ruined, Rav Schechter once said that for Mitzvahs Aseh, as we know, there are limits. How much you have to spend on a Mitzvahs Aseh? Ad Shlish, Shamavazvez, Yosemi Chomesh. But for Mitzvahs Los Aseh, not to violate a Los Aseh, I have to give away all my money. I have to give away all my money not to violate a Los Aseh, possibly even a Los Aseh Dir Rabbanan. That's what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss in Hilchos Sukkah. But for a Mitzvahs Aseh, there are limits. Tfilas Kalim is a Mitzvahs Aseh. And most it's a mitzvah zaseh daraisa, but it could be some rishonim even say it's a mitzvah zaseh derabanan. So for a mitzvah zaseh, do you have to give away the whole item? Do you have to break it? So if it's going to break, so make it, then you don't have to. The question is it going to break? So if somebody is very, very nervous about it, so it could be that they could rely on the hefet, just it's going to break. So that's one reason, lahatir, that one wouldn't have to tovel it, because it's just going to get ruined. But let's assume, and there's been experience in some cases, that it's not going to get ruined. And you let it dry for a couple of days. So, do you have to tovel it? So Im Kain says the Chalkos Yaakov, this is in Yeridea, Simen Me Alef, Benidon Didon Sheklei Matechas Anal Nogea Betavshil, O Achamin, Vose Pula and Rasha, Vade Desarach Tvila. It should require Tvila. No, it should be. That he says, Achein yesh heter boro l'shtami shafalo tefila. I think he could use it even without tefila. Why? What's his heter? The big kula of the Chelkas Yaakov, also mentioned by the Beis Avi, and that is, since it's only usable when it is attached, it is plugged in, it's in the sheka, so that's when it gets the status of a kli. It's not a kli before, it's useless. It's useless to me before it's plugged in. Only when I plug it in is it considered a kli. When it's plugged in, it's mechuba l'karka. Hari hukakarka, and therefore it doesn't need tefillah. That's the amazing chiddush of the Chelkas Yaakov. Imken benidon didon, kivat shamateches halazeh, nasa lechatchila, rak leishtamish kishu mechubar lakosel, v'yafta b'shoshin mishtamish bo, eno mechubar lakosel, mikomakom, kivat shanasa rak leishtamish kishu mechubar, eno mekabel tumah, umikoshike benidon didon, shetchilas asiyosam, rak leishtamish lechabram lakosel mechubar lakarka, v'chulu, he says, would not need tefillah in that case. He says, if you want to, if you argue, he says in a different tshuva, that maybe what it just if you have a way of just closing up with your, get your fingers wet, and then put your fingers over the electrical elements. Again, it depends on the type of appliance, but that is one heter of the Chelkas Yaakov. Rav Moshe talks about this. This is, by the way, the other postgame are not into this heter. The Sheva Halevi thinks it's Hevel or Reus Ruach. It's a Kli. Just because it's plugged in doesn't make it Mechubal Karka. It's not fixed. It's not like a door. A door is attached to the house and it's never made to come off. Here, you plug it in, you take it out, you plug it in. It's still a Kli. It only works by being plugged in. That is a big chiddush though. Rav Moshe talks about not George Foreman's, wasn't around earlier, but Moshe talks about the old-fashioned urns. The urn where you have the electrical element at the bottom, inside like the plastic and the metal on top. Not one of the push pots, but an urn where the faucet is on the bottom. So Moshe has a tshuva there in 1957. So he says there, maybe you could consider it two kalim. The part that touches the liquid, the top part, the metal, and then the bottom part, that doesn't have to be tovel, because that's not part of the kli su'uda. Only kli su'uda has to be tovel. So if you hold it upside down, and you just tovel everything that touches the water, so emotion is makel there, because it's considered two kalim. Okay, but you don't have that for a lot of other kalim. Like for the kalim on a zef, for a toaster, for a George Foreman, you can't really consider it two kalim. So the other way to solve the problem, and this is why we're talking about this here, if you want to tovel it, there are those that say, again, if somebody's very nervous and, you know, yesh makom lahakel, there is a das yachid that you don't need tefillah, whether it's called as bechubar, whether it's called as going to break. There are days that say that one should ask the local rav in terms of what to paskin. But another way out is to unscrew it. And not just to unscrew it, to take apart the appliance a little bit and then put it back together. So then, when you put it back together, it's called Asiya B'Yad Yisrael. The only mitzvah of tefillah is only when you have a kli made by a non-Jew. But if you have a kli made by a Jew, no problem. So if I take this kli and I take it apart and put it back together, that's called Asiya B'Yad Yisrael. But the post can say, if you want to do this, it can't just be, I take a screwdriver, I unscrew a screw, and I screw it back in. No, I didn't take it apart. Because that is, what does our Gemara say? If it's hedyot yachol lahachziro, so then that's not considered taken apart. You didn't break it and you didn't build it. It's only if you take it apart so much that if I would look at it and I would say, I have no idea what to do here. I don't know how to put it back. So then if you have an uman, put it back together. And some people train themselves. If somebody trains themselves and they know how to do it, that's fine. But I know in one yeshiva, somebody once told me that this one guy learned how to do it, so whenever anybody bought their George Foreman, their grills, so he would open it and put it back together. But it has to be, it can't be Hedya Yachlach Zero, because then it would still be called Asiya Biyad Eno Yehudi. Once we're on the topic of Asiya, just to mention, I'm not going to read it inside, there's a tremendous chiddush that Ramosha has in a different shuva. The question is, what about bottles? What about glass bottles? By a Snapple bottle, not plastic. Plastic does not require tefillah. But glass requires tefillah with a bracha. So the question is, what about if somebody buys a glass bottle of juice and they want to reuse it? So when you get it the first time, so there are some shitas that say maybe you can't drink directly out of the glass because that's using it. It wasn't tovel. But Pasha says you're not really using it. Many say that, you know, that's, you know, you're just taking the drink out. But what about the second time? If I want to save it and reuse it again, so now this is an issue. Because some folks can say, now you are deciding to use it. You're deciding to keep it. It's not just packaged, and now you're taking the liquid out. If I'm going to put more liquid in, I should have to tovel it. So Rav Moshe has a tremendous kula where he says, when I buy a bottle of juice, am I buying, if I pay a certain amount of money for it, I pay $2, right? So am I paying $1.80 for the juice and 20 cents for the bottle? No. I pay $2 for everything. And the manufacturer throws in the bottle. It's just packaging. It's batel. It doesn't have the status of a bottle. The second that I decide to keep it, says Rav Moshe, that's cool. I'm giving it status of a kli. Inherently, that's asiya b'yad Yisrael. And therefore, one doesn't need to tovel it. That is the chiddush of Rav Moshe by glass bottles. Other posts can argue, and they say once you decide to keep it, so then you have to tovel it, because now you're giving it status, but it was still made by the non-Jew. Okay, good. But anyway, we mentioned that because of the line of Hedyot Yachol Lahachzira. Okay, so Abaye says, first answer, why is it still tummy after the bell comes out? Because you can, a Hedyot can get it back in. Number two, Rava says, because it's still ra'ui to do its original purpose. Vayter, we're on the first line now. Nun Tesam Aleph. It's Marnami, Amar of Yossi Bar Chanina. Ho'over Roy Lakisho Agabi Cheres. Same thing, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yosef Rechanina says, because you could bang it on a cheres and make the same sound. Good. Rabbi Yochanan, on my third answer, a third approach, why, if an outside of a bell is separated from the inside, so why is that still makabel toma? So Rabbi Yochanan says, ho v'roi l'gamea bomayim latinok. Because I could turn it over and fill it up with water to give a drink to a child. So it's still ra'ui. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan as compared to the previous shita, Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yochanan says it does not have to serve its original purpose anymore. Any purpose would be okay. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, the previous opinion number two, said no, it's got to do something original, like its original purpose. It was a bell and it can be banged to make sounds. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush is that as long as it can do any purpose, it still has the chalos shem kli, and it is makabel tuma. Tosfos here discusses Dibur Maskil v'Rebbe. It sounds like from the words of Rabbi Yochanan that you don't have to be miyachid. You don't have to designate it to be, I'm going to use this forevermore, to be used as a cup to give water to a child. Doesn't sound that way. It sounds like you should, because you can use it. Al-Karchach says Tosis below Yichdu Mairi. Mita Ka'amar, Holva Roi. Since it's Roi, Mashma, Biroi Ba'alma, Afila below Yichud. It's Mashma that as long as I could use it, even though I didn't designate it to be used. The problem, Tosfos says, is a Gemara later on. The Gemara Daf Tzadikei says, second wide line of Tosfos, Gabe Nikev, Kemotzi's eyes, if I have a basket, if I have a bowl, I got a hole in it. So when do I say that the bowl loses its status of Kabbalah's Tuma? What if it's a humongous hole, that it's not usable anymore? What if it has a little hole? What if it has a little hole? So the Gemara there talks about a case where it gets a small hole that olives would fall through. But pomegranates would be able to still be in the bowl. So, Kabinik of Kamotzi Zayas, we say that is Tor Milakabo Bozesim, V'yadayin Kliu Lakabo Rimonim. It's still a Kli to accept pomegranates. And Rashi there adds, Im Yichdu L'Rimonim. If you were miyachid, it's rimonin, and it's still makabel tuma. Ask Tosfos, why in our Gemara does it seem like you do not have to be miyachid it for it to still be makabel tuma? And Rashi there says, Dafka, if you were miyachid it, Tosfos says, if you don't say like Rashi, it's fine. But if you say like Rashi, so why is this case worse? Why is this case, even if you don't have kavana liyachid, you're not designating it forever, it still could be makabel tuma. So Tosfos answers, maybe because answer number two and three, are really also building on answer number one. And that is, here, it's very easy to get it back to the previous state. After all, had your yochalach zero, like Abaya said. So because that's true, that's why you have more flexible definitions in terms of keeping its status as a kli. Over there, how do you, have to fix the whole basket. You don't have a choice. You can't just easily close up the hole. But Hacha Tosfos says, Chazi Tvei, Ayidei Giyemua, Mishum Deho, Umeikara Avi Kli Gamur, Vegamata, Hedyo Yochol Achziro, Islam Lameimar, Dal Yidei Davar Muat, Shadain Roy Ligamor, Bomayim Chashiv Kli, Afilu Below Yichud, less standards. So it's amazing. Tosfos is explaining answer number two and three. But he says, answer number one helps out our understanding of two and three. So that is Tosfos in terms of whether one requires yichud or not. Okay, those are the first two, the three answers of the Gemara. Okay, so now why does each one reject the other one? Says the Gemara, fourth line, V'Rabbi Yochanan lo ba'i me'ein malacha rishona. Rabbi Yochanan argues on the second answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, any malacha, any purpose would be good enough, even if it's not fitting to do its previous purpose. V'atanya, but we learned in a brisa otherwise. We learned that you need, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need the previous purpose. V'atanya, v'chol, kli asher yeshev alav v'chulu. The context of these pasuk is mishkav hazav. As we know, and we'll talk about it more, usually tumah is transferred down. Av touches something and makes it a rishon a sheni, a shlishi, a revi, in certain contexts. But there are a couple of exceptions to the rule where tumah goes across. Tumah goes across. One of those exceptions is right here. Mishkav Azav or Medris Azav. If a Zav or a Zava, one of the Mechusrei Kapara, if they sit on something that is normally sat on, so then they make it an Av HaTumah. They make it an Av HaTumah, not a Rishon LaTumah. That's a Chiddush of a Mishka. That's the Chiddush Din, Pasuk in Chumash, Mishkav Azav. Says the Gemara, you might have thought that even if I turn over a barrel that holds a sa'ah and sat on it, or turn over a barrel that holds a tirkav, I might think that also is mekabel, that becomes mishkav azav, tamalomar, asher yeshev alav azav. Misha miyuchar li yeshiva, only something that is designated to sit on, a couch, a pillow, a rug, Yatzazeh, excluding a barrel, Shom Rimlo, Amov, Nasem Alachteinu. Unlike a barrel where we would say, get up, meaning turn it over, let's use it for what it's usually used for. That is the Brisa, that the Mishkav Azav only applies to something that is normally sat on. Let's continue and then we'll come back and talk about Mishkav Azav. But first we'll continue a little bit. We're in the middle. Rebbe Elazar Omer Bimedrisos Omrim Amod Venasa Malachtenu Vein Omrim Betame Mace Amod Venasa Malachtenu. Rebbe Elazar says you only say this by Medris and not by Tame Mace. What's this? So Rashi explains 2 points. Rebbe Elazar says you only say by Medris that you need something that is ra'i li yeshiva. This applies, Rashi, on the third and fourth wide line, bein b'tchilas tumah, bein b'self tumah. So, tchilas tumah that everybody agrees to. Meaning, something doesn't become tameh medris unless it is normally sat on. But Rabbi Elazar goes one step further, also, b'self tumah. Let's say somebody has a rug, and it is ra'i l'kabel tumas medris. And then the rug is split in half. And now it's not big enough for somebody to sit on. Rabbi Elazar says, if that rug had been Tameh Medris, boom! It's not Tameh Medris anymore. Now it's Tameh Legabe Medris. Not only, says Rabbi Elazar, does Tameh Medris not apply L'chatchila for the Tumah to be chal in the first place on something that is not fit to be normally sat on, so too it loses its Tumah if it becomes something that is not normally sat on. That is the Chiddush of Rebbe Elazar. And we don't say that by Tameh Mace. What do you mean by Tameh Mace? If something is a Kli, something is a Kli by Tameh Mace, and then it loses its status of being a Kli for what it normally was used for, it's still Tameh Mace. Doesn't lose the state of Tumah. Right? Look at the Rashi of Ve'ein Omrim. Ve'ein Omrim linyin ava Tumah shal Tumas Mace amov anasa malachteinu. Klomar im nitma v'nishbar v'odehu ra'ilu malacha ba'alma. If a kli that you had broke, if it's not roi for anything anymore, then of course it's tahar. But if it's not roi for malach, if it is still roi for malacha, she'ein me'ein malacha rishona tamei, but it's not roi for the malacha that it had been, but it's still roi for malacha, it's still makabel tumah. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to say, amo v'nasa malachteinu, you don't have to say, oh, it has to be roi for its original purpose. No! Even if it's roi for any purpose, Rabbi Elazar says, it is good enough, and it remains tamei meis. That is Rebbe Elazar Shita. Back to the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Amar. No. Af Omer b'tamei meis. I'm over Nasa Malachteinu. Also by Tamei Meis. If by Tamei Meis the Kli, a Kli breaks, a Kli that was Tamei Meis breaks, and now it is fit to be used, but not for its original purpose, so it is no longer Tamei Meis. But what do you see from that? Rabbi Yochanan's talking. You see Rabbi Yochanan in the laws of Tumah requires if a Kli breaks, it has to be roi for its original purpose. So how in our Mishnah, on the third, explaining our Brisa, on the third line of the Gemara, as long as you know you can use the bell for a baby to drink from. What do you mean? He should agree to number 2. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, that you can use it to bang on the door. Don't you need the original purpose? The Gemara answers, Eifach Kamaisa. Okay, you're right. Switch the above answers. Switch the above answers. Rabbi Yochanan really gives the second answer of Roy Lakisho Agabi Cheres, that you can bank it, it can make a sound, and Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina gives the other answer. Says the Gemara, my chazis to afak kamaisa, ifak bas raisa. Why don't you switch the second one? Why do you switch the first one? So Hashemina, Rabbi Yochanan, the boy main Malacha Rishona. Now we have another context where we see that Rabbi Yochanan requires Malacha Rishona. So once you have another context, so we know which one to switch. Okay, we'll see that context in a minute. But first, let's talk for a moment about Mishkav Hazav. Just one parenthetical point. That is, in the introduction, introductory psukim to Mishkav, says the Torah in Parshas Mitzora, right after the Tzara'as, Vaydabar Hashem el Moshe el Aaron lemar, Dabru el Bnei Yisrael va'amartem alehem. Ish ish ki yezav mibsaroza vota mehu v'chulu. And it goes through all the halachas now of Ziva and Nida v'chulu. The Aznayim Latorah of Sirotskin points out this is an unusual lashon. The Dabar Hashem el Moshe el Aaron lemar. That's fine. But then, Dabru el Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael, va'amartem alehem. Now, usually it just says, Vaydabar Hashem el Moshe el Aaron lemar. The Bnei Yisrael Lemar, and the Ish, right, what do we say in Tzitzis? V'yam Shem Shalimar. The Bnei Yisrael, Martel Lehem, Masul Lehem Tzitzis, Va'amartem Alehem, says the Azayim HaTorah, Lo Matzinu Lashon Zu BaTorah, Ubimakoma Ba Lemar, V'loma Nemarkan Va'amartem Alehem. Why does it say both Lemar and Va'amartem Alehem? There are a few other places, but it's somewhat common. Say to them, emphasize to them, says the Azayim HaTorah, Litzavos HaMoshe V'Yaron. What is about to be discussed here? Ziva, Nida, Lo Yimnu Mi Lomar L'Bnei Yisrael, Dine Tuma Zav Zav V'Nida, Ulaz Hiro Samalzeh. Don't be nervous, Moshe and Aaron, to tell Bnei Yisrael about these halachas. V'lo Yachushu L'Divrei HaNarganim. And don't give in to those who complain against you, like you find Bizman Hazeh, he says. Shedvarim ka'ela odos evari hamin shela ishva isha ma'or mesataivos. It's inappropriate to give shiurim on that, to talk about that. Hilchas nida, hilchas ziva, right? It's negarat snius. How can you talk about that? Says the Azayim HaTorah. 1 minute. First of all, don't listen to them. And then say 1 minute. Are they so consistent? Tir'eh, Shehem Mevakrim, these same people who want to say, oh, don't give a shear on that. Hey Mevakrim, B'tiatraot, U'batei Sha'ashuim, V'shomim Sham Nivol Pem, Mefuratzim, U'prutzos, V'nenim Hem Olochafnayim, Nachas V'tzchok. Right? Sometimes we have to make sure that we're consistent. We'll say, oh, this is inappropriate, but then what do we listen to, and what do we watch, and what do we see elsewhere in our lives? We have to make sure we are consistent, and again, everything done in a halachic, properly presented realm from a Torah viewpoint is fine. There's only certain issues that Chazal say not to discuss. Ma'aseh Merkava and the like in Maseches Chagiga. But Va'amartem Aleihem, the emphasis is say it to them. Say it to them all about Ziva and Nida. So that's the introductory remark that he has about Tumas Medris and Mishkav Azav. Getting back specifically to our issue. Mishkav Azav. Ask the Achronim. Yes, this is an exception to the rule. There are two or three exceptions to the rule that Tumah goes across. But is there a svara why this is, or how Tumah goes across? A Zav sits on something, and Memela, it itself becomes an Ava Tumah? Right? If a Zav touches something, then it becomes a Rishon LaTumah. It goes down. A special din. If a Zav sits on something, it becomes an Ava Tumah, just like the Zav. Right? So where does that come from? So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in an article called in the Sefer Zichron HaRav, he quotes his father-in-law, he quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who explains that no, it's a davar barur. He's explaining there a shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that in our case, and Machlokas Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam says that let's say Azav sits on a barrel. He sits on a barrel. So what does our Gemara say? There's no Tumas Hesed. There's no Tumas Medris. There's no Mishkav Azav. Because it's not, we say Amov Nasa Malachtenu, so it's not normally sat on. So there's no Mishkav Azav there. Rabbeinu Tam says, but there is the lower level. It becomes a Rishon at least. Even if the Zav is not touching it. Let's say the Zav is sitting on three mattresses. So mattresses is not a good example because mattresses are usually sat on. But let's say a Zav is sitting on five books. Zav is sitting on five books, so a book is normally not sat on. So we would say, Rov Rishonim say that the top book is Tameh because the top book was touched by a Zav. So the top book is a Rishon, and that's it. The other books are not Tame, because ain Kli Matame Kli, and the other books are never touched by Azav, and the Mishkav Azav doesn't apply. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. Rabbeinu Tam says that all the other ones, you're right, there's no Mishkav Avatuma, but there are at least a Rishon. The Tar Mituma Chamura, the Eino Matame Adam Bekalim, Aval Tame Tuma Kala, could go on the Tame Ochlon Umashkin. They're Rishons. Avagav the Eino Royal Mishkav Moshav. Rabbeinu Tam there is quoted in Tosafos and Erevin, on Daf Chav Zayin. But within the context of explaining this Rabbeinu Tam against other Rishonim, so Rav Soloveitchik explains that a Zav, usually by Tumah, you have a Mitame and a Mitame. Someone who is giving the Tumah and someone who is accepting the Tumah. So that's why usually Tumah goes down. But in our case, the Zav is not doing that. When a Zav sits on a couch, he's not being Mitame it. He's sitting on a couch. What is he doing? He is now classifying it. That couch is now classified as a Mishkav Hazav. That's what it's called now. Once it's a Mishkav Hazav, Memela, the Torah says it's Tameh. There's no Metameh here. It's a Lamad Avadom, a Mashal. Let's say a Sheretz died. A Sheretz died. So now, what made that Sheretz Tameh? Nothing made that Sheretz Tameh. Now there is a dead Sheretz. The Torah says a dead Sheretz is Tameh. That's the halacha. That's the reality. This reality is Tameh. So, a nevela, right? What is that? I mean, there's a lack of Maaseh Shechita, but the animal dies. So, this Metzius. So to Mishkav Hazav, all the Zav does is create the reality. He's not Metameh, he's Magdir. In the words that Rav Aaron quotes from his father-in-law, he says, "Pekahai gavna ein azav metameh asai mishkav ela magdiro baofan sheshuv haTorah hi shetimato asher lachein ein kan horadas dargas hatuma kimekubal kashish metameh v'nitma hashra." That's it. That's what a Mishkav Hazav does. The chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam is that hidden in that halacha is also a secondary halacha, that there's the normal transference of tumah that a zav could do to the mishkav. So that's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, and other rishonim would argue on that. But step number one that we just mentioned, that everybody agrees to, and that is how the Mishkav Hazav works. This helps, and he quotes this, this helps also to understand the Rashi. A Rashi in Maseches Baba Kama, a big chiddush of a Rashi. The Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Samach Vav in Perek Meruba quotes a Brisa. The Gemara says Mishkavo Velo HaGazol. It says his Mishkav by Azov, and the Gemara says excluding stolen, a stolen Mishkav, stolen pillow. If Azov sits on a stolen pillow, it is not Tamei. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Stolen. So the Gemara says, "Hey chidami, ilay med the gazal imradach va'avde mishkav." If you stole wool and made it into a pillow, so of course that's not stolen anymore. That's shinui maisa. The gazal is kona it. So what does it mean? It means literally gazal mishkav dechavre. He stole a pillow of his friend. So the Gemara uses that to explain something else in Ilchas Gazela. But what does the Gemara mean? So Rashi takes the Gemara kipshuto. Gzeres hakasuv lahotzias a mishkav agazal shinonas avatumah latame adam. Mishkav HaGazal, if a Zav steals a pillow and sits on it, it's not Metame. It's not Metame Tumasa Mishkav. Says Tosfos, fascinating. Two questions Tosfos asks. The first question is just two words. Tosfos quotes Rashi and says, Vizet Tema. That's it. And then he says, Viod. He says, number one, he says, what kind of, how can you say that? How can you say that, this is like, Ein Adam Oser Dover Sheinu Shalom? No, this is Tumah. Tum is transferred. It's not Isurim. If you put a dead body onto something, it's not going to be Metameit, even if it doesn't belong to you. Why should that be true? This is Tumah. It's automatic. It's like if I pour milk into somebody's chicken soup. It's not going to make it Usur. It's a reality. So Es Tosfos, this is a reality, isn't it? And then he has another question from a Gemara in a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos. Okay, so the Mishnah Maseches Taharos might be answered. The Tosfos read here in Baba Kama says maybe there's a difference between She'ela and Gezela, but Rashi says it by Gezela. So how could it be that a Mishkav HaGazal? Tosfos says, well, isn't this like regular Tumah? Says one could answer, the more that this isn't a regular Metamian or Nitma, but it's a halachic classification idea that when I sit on this, this is now called Mishkav Hazav. Then that opens the door to suggest that if it's not mine, maybe I don't get to the first step. Maybe if it's not mine, I can't classify it as a Mishkav Hazav. It's not mine. The second I can't classify it, the Mamela is never going to become Tamei, because the Torah is not going to come in and declare the reality Tamei. Okay, so that is a little bit about Mishkav Hazav. Now we get back to our sugya. So again, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara held that Rabbi Yochanan held that you need in Hilchas Tumah, in order for it to still be Mekabel Tumah, it has to be Me'ein Malacha Rishon. It has to do similar to what it originally did. And we had to be Mefach, we had to switch around the answers up on top, and we were up to I, is it, why did we switch the, on top? Why don't we switch the others? Because we have another context where Rabbi Yochanan requires Malacha Rishon as well. So that's what we're up to. Ditnan. As the Mishnah says in Maseches Kalim, about 8 lines up. Sandal shel behema shel mateches tamei. If there is a metal sandal, like a horseshoe type of thing, but it's not really a horseshoe, because it's some type of shoe with a base kibble, with a receptacle. A sandal of a metal sandal of an animal, tamei, is makabel tumah. Ask the Gemara Lamai Chazi, why? We learned earlier, a tachshit of an animal is not makabel tumah. So, lamai chazi, why is the shoe of an animal makabel tumah, metal shoe? So, a couple of answers. Amar Rav, ra'ui lishtos bo mayim bimelchama. Because during wartime, if a guy's really thirsty, he could take off the animal's shoe, fill it up with water, and drink it. So it's right for a person. That's what it's roy for, number one. Rabbi Chanina Amar, roy lasuch bo shemen b'mochama. Roy, it is roy to anoint, like to fill it up with oil, and use oil to smear yourself during war. Why did the first of Ben Yerav not say that? Because who's smearing themselves? Who's anointing themselves in the battle? You gotta find something lamaisa, that's possible. That's why he says water. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, that's the key one for us. Bisha'a shaboreach min akrav. When a person is running away from the battlefield, manicho baraglav, he might take from the animal, because he needs it for himself, he might take the animal shoes and put it on his own legs. Varatz al kotzen vabakanim, so he's able to walk and run on the thorns, so he doesn't get cuts. But what do you see from Rabbi Yochanan? In order for something to be makabel tumah, it needs to be ra'oi for its original purpose. So this was a shoe for the animals, so only if it's a shoe for people does it retain its tumah. Ma bein Rav l'Rabbi Chanina, what's the difference between the opinion number one and opinion number two? Ike beinav demos. If it's a disgusting, gross shoe, so then Rav would say, it's not makabel tumah because you can't drink water from there. But Rabbi Chanina would say it's okay because you can still fill it up with oil. Bein Rabbi Yochanan l'Rabbi Chanina, what about answer two and three? Ike beinav deyakir, if it's very heavy. It's very heavy, you can't put it on your feet. Because you can't run with it. Mashenki, in the earlier opinion, would still say it is makabel tumah. Because if you fit oil with it, you don't have to carry it. Just leave it on the floor. Good. This is all the issue of tumah roy l'malacha rishon. Just one other ha'ara. Sounds like from our context, from our Gemara, that the fact that it is the malbush of the animal itself is not good enough. Right, it's got to be the malbush of a person. It has to have the use of a person. The fact that it's the shoe of a animal, it's not makabel tumah for that. Right? We have three reasons why, how a person could use it. Asks the Mishnah Achrona, one of the great commentaries on Mishnayos. This is in Kalim, in the 14th parak in Kalim. But I don't understand. That's where the Mishnah says also, Sandali behema shel mateches tamein. A sandal of behema is tamei because a person can drink from it. That's what the Bartanura quotes that opinion. But ask the Mishnah Achrona, but didn't we learn earlier in our parak about mirdas, about the cushion and the blanket that covers up a donkey? And that was makabel tumah. So answers the Mishnah Achrona, Mishum Sha'asli La'adam. You're right, it warms the animal, but it's also made for a person. Shukim in Ukav, it's like the saddle. It makes it more comfortable for the person to sit on the animal. But really, if it was purely for the animal, it would not be Makabel Tumah. Good. Once we have this Mishnah open, just that same Mishnah that the Mishnah Achrona was talking about, I just happened to look ahead, it talks about when is a Sayif Makabel Tumah. Right, that whole paragraph is about different types of Kalim. When is a sword Makabel Tumah? Different opinions. When it's shined, when it's sharpened. Discussion. Why is this Mishnah so exciting? Because this is the Mishnah about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right, if you look in Maseches BaMetziah on Daf Pei Dalet, that's the Gemara when Rabbi Yochanan made Reish Lakish for him. He took him out of the water. You can marry my sister. Rabbi Yochanan was so beautiful. And he says, yeah, you should see my sister. Finally, they get together and they become Rebbe Talmud and they become brothers-in-law. But then, Yom Achad, the Gemara says, tragically, have Mefagi be Medrash, or they were arguing in the base Medrash, about when does a Sayif become Tamei. Rabbi Yochanan says one opinion, Mishi Tzarfim Bekivshan, Reish Lakish has another opinion, and then Rabbi Yochanan says the line, Lista'a Belistiyusa Yada. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh yeah, I forgot. You have a lot of experience in these sword issues. And Amar Leih, Reish Lakish hears that and he says, everything I've done in my life must be worthless. Well, my Ahanis Liasam, Hasam Rabbi Karali, Acha Rabbi Karali. And Reish Lakish had Chalisha Sadas, and then Rabbi Yochanan had Chalisha Sadas, and Reish Lakish got sick, and Rabbi Yochanan davened and davened and davened to no avail. And from that incident, Reish Lakish died, and Rabbi Yochanan never got over it. He was Mitzar, Basrei Tuva, and he says, I feel, and he might not have meant it. This is Rabbi Yochanan we're talking about. Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, how can we help Rabbi Yochanan? He's losing his mind. So they sent Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas to Rabbi Yochanan, who, every time Rabbi Yochanan said something, Elazar ben Pedas brought a raya, a brisa, that's what was a raya. So he says, Amar at Kabbalah Kisha, are you like Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish asked me 24 questions on everything I said, and then we got 24 answers. I don't need somebody who just tells me I'm right. I know I'm right. I need Reish Lakish, and he tore his clothing, and finally he lost his mind, the Gemara says. And the Rabbanan davened for him, v'noach nafshe. This is a Gemara, important Gemara for a lot of reasons, right? Are you allowed to daven for somebody who's very sick? That was like the Gemara at the end of Ksubis, that the maidservant of Rebbe davened that he should die. The Ran and Maseches Nedarim discusses this. But for our purposes, this is the Mishnah, this issue about when is the Gemara Malacha for a sword. Right, that's the discussion between Rechon and Reish Lakish. That same comment, the Mishnah Rishona, Mishachrona is on that Gemara. Just Erech Agav also, amazing Ha'ara that was once made, Reish Lakish and that Gemara cannot go on. After he loses his Chavrusa, he just can't live anymore. And he just loses it. Even though we know the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons. I think we're at the beginning of Brachas, he carried around the bone of his, or the tooth of his 10th son. He was able to handle losing 10 sons. He wasn't able to handle losing his Chavrusa. Unbelievably, to look at those two Gemaras in light of each other. Okay, we go weiter. Below Be'ir shows up, second to last line. A woman is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a city of gold. My Be'ir shows up, what does that mean? Rabba Barbachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim Dadava. Yerushalayim of gold. What does that mean? Rashi, back on the Mishnah, on Daf Nun Zayin, at the beginning of the Perek, had said it means some type of clasp that you hold your clothing with, and you make it look like a Yerushalayim, a picture of Yerushalayim, the skyline of Yerushalayim. Tosfos here says, no, it's not a clasp. No, it's clear that it is a crown, says Tosfos, because the Gemara says that it gives an ear shows off as an example of what they answered in Maseches Sota, like we discussed yesterday, in terms of the crown that brides wore. Aye, so how is it that they were gozer on Tosfos S, that they were go, that you're not allowed to go out with an ear shows off on Shabbos? You're not allowed to wear an ear shows off ever. So the Gemara, Tosfos says, no, you're allowed to only for Chasanim and Kalas. The brides aren't allowed to go out with it. That was the Gzeira. But a regular woman can, and the Rabbanan asked going out with it, though, on Shabbos. So the Gemara, though, adds one interesting line. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's Yerushalayim Dadava, Kidda'avad le Rabbi Akiva ledebisu. Like Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. Akiva made for his wife. So that's all the details given here. If we want to understand that line, we have to go to the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara in two places tells us the story about Rabbi Akiva and his wife. In Ksubis and in Nedarim, where his wife says you have to go to yeshiva, and he goes for 12 years, and he comes back, and then he goes away for another 12 years, when he overhears the conversation that his wife is having. So that Gemara appears in Ksubis Daf Samach Beis, and Nedarim here Daf Nun. That's what I have open here. But the previous case, Rabbi Akiva is Kaddish Le Barte, the Kalba Savua. We know Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva had been the shepherd of Kalba Savua. Kalba Savua thought he was an unlearned boor, and therefore he didn't want his daughter marrying such a man. But they got married, Shama Kabal Savua, and he was Mutar Hana from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Mutar Hana from him. Azal v'is nesiva leid besisva. They got married in private. Haviganu beitivna. They lived in like a storage house, just with straw on the floor. Havikamankit leitivna bin mazye. And Rabbi Akiva was taking the straw out of the hair of his wife. Obviously, a lot of symbolism here. What do we need to know that about Rabbi Akiva and his wife? Amar Lani says to her, Ihavi li, if I had any money, Ramina Lech Yerushalayim Dadaba. I would make you a Yerushalayim Dadaba. I would make you a crown of gold. The Marsha says here, because he was taking the hair out of her, the straw out of her hair, he says, I wish I could put something else on your hair, on top. I wish I could give you this crown. And then Eliyahu comes, Idmin Lukanasha, Eliyahu Anavi comes and appears to them like a person, and he knocks on the door and he says, do you have any straw that I could borrow? Just to be Menachim them. Rabbi Akiva says, look, he doesn't even have straw! We at least have straw, to be Menachim them. But both the Ran and others say right there, I wish I could give you Yerushalayim Dadava. It must be he did. He did! Right? Based on our Gemara. based on our Gemara. The Ron said there, Takshe Shazavi Shushalayim Mitsuyerba, Vahachi Avadla, Kideisa, Beperek, Bame Isha. So you gotta read that Gemara with our Gemara. That is the, again, the Ron in the Dharm quoting our Gemara. Interesting. Also, the Ben Yehoyada right here says, what's the Chiddush of adding, like the one made for Rabbi Akiva? Just say, Nir Shalzav. What do we have to know? What do you have to say? Rabbi Akiva lived generations beforehand. So Rabbi Yochanan said it. He's explaining to them. Does it help in the explanation at all? That he mentioned that it was the wife of Rabbi Akiva. So he suggests, because we're going to have an opinion that by an ish, in a few lines, that by an isha chashuva, you don't have to be worried that she's going to carry something out because she's an isha chashuva and she wants it on. So Rabbi Yochanan is emphasizing that the Tan of our Mishnah doesn't hold that way. Doesn't hold to that distinction. And that's why he quotes like Rabbi Akiva's wife, who is an isha chashuva. Who's an isha chashuva? That's the chiddush. He's telling them a halachic issue by saying the example of Rabbi Akiva's wife. Good, we continue. Tanu Rabbanan, top line. Lo seitze isha b'ir shal zahav, v'im yatzas chayev eschatas, div Rabbi Meir. A woman can't wear this out. And if she does, it's an isser d'oraisa. Chayev eschatas. Big chiddush, we'll have to talk about what the svara is. V'chachamim ha'omrim, no, lo seitze, v'im yatzas petura. She shouldn't go out with it. It's only this is the Rabbanan. This is the Rabbanan if she goes out with it. Chazal asered it. Rabbi Eliezer omer, yotze isha b'ir shal zahav, lichat chila. No problem. No problem, she can go out with it, l'chadchila. B'maika miflagi, what's the root of this machlokes? Rabbi Meir, savar masuihu. Meir said, this is a bundle. This is not considered a ornament. It's not considered jewelry on the woman. So that's why it's nisid daraisa. For Rabbanan savri, tachshidu. No, it is jewelry. And therefore, the only worry is, dilma shalfa umachvile. Maybe she will take it off and show it to others. Fasila suye. And then before she puts it back on her hand, she'll walk with it. So it's asa derabanan. For Rabbi Elazar Savar, no. Man darka lemefek bir shalzav. Who usually wears these? Isha chashuva. Women who are chashuvos. Isha chashuva lo mashalfo machvi. A chashuv woman won't take it off. Because maybe everybody's seen it before. Maybe she's too proud to take it off. Either way, those are the three opinions. And that's what the Ben Yoyada just alluded to. The shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, not that. Good. Stop there for a minute. There's a crucial discussion here, hidden away in Shabbos on Daf Nun Tes. And that is within the question of, what is the shita of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, oh, it's a bundle, it's a masui. Why? This is jewelry. This is something that she's wearing on her forehead. Or according to Rashi, it's a clasp. But either way, let's go with Tosfos. It's a crown. So what's the problem? Says the Rashba, Klomar, mitoch kavdo. Number one, maybe it's very heavy. It's very heavy, so it's not a normal type of jewelry. V'inami, or she'eno asui l'tachshitos elo laharos osher. Maybe the reason she wears it is not to beautify herself, but just to show that she's rich. That's a big chiddush. If I wear something just to show that I'm rich, even if I wear it like jewelry, it's a masui? Okay, that's the Rashba. The Rashba's suggestion. If you look in the Rishash, the two Achronim ask the same question. They don't quote the Rishash. Two Achronim ask this question, and both of them are very important. Number one is the Rishash. The Rishash says right here, why is it a Masui? Says the Rishash, since the Rabbanan asered to wear it, the Rabbanan, that's why it's a Masui. The fact that the Rabbanan say it's a Masui, the Rabbanan, meaning they say you can't wear it, the Rabbanan, memela it becomes a Masui daraisa. That's a big chiddush. Says the Rishash. I'll read it. V'nirali disfirli the Rabbi Meir. Kiban d'rabbanan asu lehiskashit b'abishabis l'chatchila kechachamim memeila nita limen hashem tachshit b'yom hashabis v'havikamasui. If you say that, according to the Rishash, then you should probably say that about a lot of things in this parak. Right? He only says it here. Rabbi Meir says it here. But Pash, there's a lot of things in this parak the Rabbanan asur you wearing. So all of those automatically turn into a masui daraisa. That's a huge chiddush. It reminds us a little bit of a Rabbi Chanan that we've mentioned once or twice before. Fascinating Rabbi Chanan. At the end of Kovet Sa'aris, on this commentary on Yevamos, there's four pages of Hosafos at the end of the Kovet Sa'aris. So on the second to last page, he has a Hosaf on Daf Ayin Ches. Daf Ayin Ches in Yevamos talks about Chatzitza, the world of Chatzitza by Mikvah, and we know that three levels of Chatzitza in Halacha. On a Daraisa level, Chatzitza is only if Ruba Umakpid. It covers most of the body, and I'm makpid about it. I don't want my body to be covered all the time. Durabanan, either or. Rubo or makpid. either or is a chatita de rabbanan. And the third level, which is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchas Nida, that we try to be machbid lechatchila, we try to be careful not to have anything on our bodies, even miyad she'eno makbid. L'chadchila. If the woman went to the mikveh already, so then we say it's okay as long as it was in that category. Good. Asked Rabbi Chanan. He said, I asked this to my Rebbe, Reb Chaim. He says, if we say that daraisa it's rubo makbid, and midrabanan it's either or, but let's say it's rubo she'eno makbid. So we say, that is a chatzitza d'rabanan. But the second that it's a chatzitza d'rabanan, the rabbanan said it's a chatzitza, memela, it should be a chatzitza d'araisa. Because I'm makbid about it. If it's rubo, she'edo makbid, but if it's on most of my body, the rabbanan say, I can't tovel like this, so memela, I'm makbid about it. Because it's on the most of my body, the rabbanan said, I can't tovel. Kiva d'mid rabbanan, miyachotzeitz, havile makbid, v'teve chatzitza d'araisa. So two answers given. First answer that Reb Chaim gave was that, no, makbid means you're makbid on rov. Here, you're only makbid to get it back into the minority. Right? You just don't want it to be rov. As long as it gets into the little minority, if you just remove a little bit to make it 49%, then you wouldn't be makbid. So that's not called makbid. Makbid is only when you're makbid on the entire majority. Okay, that's one answer of Reb Chaim. The more pashut, I think, answer is the one that Reb Chanan gives. Reb Chanan says, that's not called makbid. You can only determine makbid on without halacha. If you're makbid on it in general, the kima de'ino makbid elam mishum psul hatvila vilav apsul lohaya makbid ain't zebachal makbid. That's not called makbid. And he gives a mashal. He says the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Maseches Para, it's quoted in Bar Metzia, that a paraduma is never allowed to have been with another animal, to been with a bull. But he says, and if a bull went on the cow, it's pasul, because he's happy that there's going to be procreation, and the cow is going to have a calf. 1 second, no, he's not happy. This ruins his paraduma. He's out millions of dollars. It ruins his paraduma. He's not happy about it. No. Forget the halacha. You can't use the halacha to turn, oh, he's upset because this is what the halacha says. No, you forget the halacha. All other cows he would be very happy about. So that's what you say about this cow too. So too by the Rubo Machbid, but that's the big chiddush of the Rashash here. The Rashash says that because that's the svar of every mayor. Because on a drabbanon level, you wouldn't be able to take it out, so it has a status of masui d'oraisa. Okay, that is number one. The other point to mention is the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yeshua here also asks, why is it that Remeir says Masui? And not only that, he says, even if he says it's a Masui, isn't it being carried out in an unusual way? Right, it's on a person's head. You want to say it's not a Tachshit? Okay, so you're carrying it out in a weird way. It's still a Shinui. It should be only Drabanan. The Kashli Tuva. Why does Remeir say, Amaychayev Chatas, Arilo Hotzi Asa, Kederach HaMotziyin? So says the Pnei Yeshua, Big Chiddush. He says, according to Rabbi Meir, it's not enough of a tachshit to be called a tachshit for Hilchas Hotza'ah, but it is enough of a tachshit to say that this is how people normally wear this item. Havi kamasu yikivan shotziyaso kederach tachshitin. Keini raliva dain sarachiyin. He tries to have his cake and eat it too. He tries to do both. It's not a tachshit because it's heavy, whatever, like the Rashba says. But whenever people have this thing, they wear it in this way. So that's enough to be called normal. This Pnei Yeshua is quoted by all the poskim in their discussion of outside, without an Erev, ear, hearing aids, glasses, sunglasses. The poskim all discuss this. You look at the heart sphere. See, Pastor Frank has a tshuva, Simin Kufayin Dalet and Arachayim, about hearing aids in a place, I'm sorry, Kufayin Gimel, one before, hearing aids with wearing them outside without an Erev. And the first source that he quotes is our Pnei Yeshua, which says, well, people normally wear it this way. You want to say, normally, if I put something around my ear, it's not normal. If I carry a cookie on top of my ear, inside my ear, it's not normal. But this is how it's normally carried, inside the ear. So should we say that this is daraisa then? This is the normal way of carrying it. And is it a malbush? Is it batel? Is it really mishum refua? He says, when it comes to something that you really need for refua, okay. But, he says, example like he quotes the Sholem Eishet that talks about sunglasses, that somebody needs to keep their eyes protected for refuah. He says, they are fine, but here, person can live without the hearing, can't they? And it just helps the person. So maybe it's more chumra in that regard. Okay, we're not going to paskin now. Just, but he goes through in a whole tshuva here related. He said hayali vikuach im rav gadol sha'amar shein lachalik be mishkafayim lemachonet shmiya mishut tekeshem she nachutz mishkafayim leinayim kach mechonet shmiya nachutz laznayim. They're both needed, and he says I don't think they're as needed. You can't walk around without glasses. You can't walk around without hearing everything properly. Okay, so that's his discussion. We're not going to get into the psak now, but glasses itself. Again, this Bnei Yeshua plays a major role. Normally, you don't carry things on your nose or on your ear, but here you do. The Shmir Shabbos Paskins in Perek Yud Ches, if somebody can't see, Misha Kashla Liros B'li Mishkafayim, Lachinu Markivam Tamid, Mutzer Lolatis, the Rosh Hashanah. That's considered, why? Not because it's an unusual, that would only make it a drabanan, because it's batal to the person. It's considered a malbush. Malbush, and even if you're wearing it, l'shem noi, he says. Ava, what's the only isser? Mishkafei kriya. Somebody has reading glasses. So they're for sure going to take them off when they walk. They don't want them. Bifocals, he says, is mutter. Because that's what they're normally used for. And then he even says, sometimes people have a string around their glasses. You let it have that on when you walk out to the street. The Shmir Shabbat says mutter because it's batel to the glasses as long as the glasses are being worn. You cannot have the glasses hanging down from your neck because then that's not being worn, and then that would be a masa. But on one's wearing the glasses normally, he says it would be mutter even with the string. And then he says it's usur also to have the glasses again, all without an erev on top. On top of my head. Also, Allah says, "Roshes Rabbim Kasher Mishkafayim Muramim Mim Komam Umunachem Ala Rosh B'Makam Aseir." Because then they're serving no purpose. Serving no purpose unless one wears them for it to be in style. But again, he says it's not allowed. And then he talks about sunglasses, different types of sunglasses. What if you have the clips that you put on the regular glasses? Anyway, he talks all about these issues, but a lot of it flows from this Pnei Yoshua. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Kalila, a tiara. Type of crown, Rav Asar Shmuel Shari. Two types of crowns, the Gemara says. Da Anischa. Anischa means a totally golden one. A piece of gold that was hammered flat. Kuli Amalo Fligi da Asar. That's for sure Asar, because people might, it's gorgeous and people might show it to others. Ki Pligi da Ruksa. The machlokas is if something is cloth and you just have some stones that were sewn onto it. Mar Savar Anischa Iker. One opinion says that the gold is the Iker and therefore it's a problem. Well, Mar Savar Ruksa Iker. Another one says no, the embroidery is the ikar, so we're not worried, we'll take it off. Ravashi Masi Lakula. Ravashi quotes the Machlokas in a different version, more Lakula. The Aruksa, the Kuliamalo Pligi de Shari, everybody agrees if they're just woven in, it's mutter. Ki Pligi de Anischa, the Machlokas is about the Anischa where it's totally golden. Mar Savar Dilma Shalfo Machvi, Vasila Suye. Rav says you're going to show it to people. Umar Savar, no, Man Darkal Mefik Bakalila. Who usually wears this? Isha Chashuva. Visha Chashuva Lo Shalfo Machvi. A fancy woman won't take it off. Good. Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Chanan Rav Yosef Beferish Amartlan Mishpei Derav Kli Lashari. Rav Shmuel Bar Chanan says to Rav Yosef, before you were sick, as we know, Rav Yosef forgot some of his learning during his sickness. You told us that Rav holds mutter. Meaning what? Rashi explains. So it must be that Rav Ashi is correct, because if Rav holds mutter, so you have to have the second version of the machlokas that he matters something. Because if not, then I'll ask her both, and then the mesora it won't fit in. Good. Amru Leila Rav. It was told to Rav. Asa Gavra Rabba Aricha Lenarda, a very tall man, a great tall man, came to Narda, Umatzla, and he was limping, Vidarash Kalila Shari. And he said it's mutter, right? Like Rav said. He said it's mutter. Omar, so Rav says, Man, we're not going to get into now, other Gemara's talk about why Levi started limping. Omar, Man Gavra Rabba Aricha Ditzla, Levi, who is that? You must be talking about Levi. Shmami no noach nafshid Rabbi Afis. It must be the Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Afis died. Why? The Yasser Rabbi Chanina Bereisha. It must be Rabbi Afis died. Rabbi Chanina took over to be the Rosh Hashiva. For lo havi lay inish the Levi lemesiv gabei. And Levi had nobody to sit outside with anymore. He got up and he came here. What's going on here? So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara at the end of Ksubis. Rebbe, when Rebbe died, he said Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama should be the Rosh Yeshiva. But he didn't want to, because Rav Afis was greater than him. So Rav Afis became the Rosh Yeshiva. Rebbe Chanina, though, didn't want to go in, because it was Rav Afis, you know, Rebbe said that he was going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So Rebbe Chanina sat outside, and he never went into the Beis Medrash when Rav Afis was the Rosh Yeshiva. Levi didn't want Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama to be sitting outside by himself, so he sat with him. So when Rav sees Levi come to Bavel, he says, oh, it must be Rav Afis died, and Rav Chanina Bar Chama went inside to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Levi had nobody to sit with anymore. Therefore, he came here to Bavel. So says the Gemara, maybe the opposite happened. The Dimal Doron after Rabbi Chanina. Maybe Rabbi Chanina died. Rabbi Afis Kedekai Kai. Rabbi Afis is still a Rosh Hashiva. Valo Havi Lele Inish, Lele Levi, Lele Mesev Gabay. Levi had nobody to sit with outside anymore because he lahacha. So he came here. So he said, no, Rav says it can't be. And he said, Rabbi Chanina Shachiv, Levi L'Rab Afis, make a Vavakaya play. No, if Rabbi Chanina had died, Levi would have gone inside. He would have gone in to Rav Afis. Visu, and also, Rabbi Chanina Losagi de Lomalach. There's no way that Rabbi Chanina wouldn't be the Rosh Hashiva. Techiavi kanach nechanashi the Rebbe, because when Rebbe died, Amar, Chanina Rebbe Chama Yasa Barosh. He already predicted that he's going to be the next Rosh Hashiva. Techsiv behu betzadikim, and we know. Techsig zer omer v'yakim lach, v'chulu. Right, if Rebbe said it, it's going to happen. So therefore, it must have happened. Look in the Ben Yehoyada here, who discusses, so why didn't Levi go into the Yeshiva when Rabbi Chanina was Rosh Yeshiva? He sat outside with him for 2 years. So why didn't he go inside? Okay. Ben Yoyada discusses it. Doresh Levi ben Arda Kli Lashari. Levi said in Arda, they're mutter to go out with. Nafik Esrin va'arba Kli Limikula den Arda. 24 came out. Women. Darish Rabbi Baravua b'mechuzah kalila shari v'nafka timnei srei kalili michadam avoa. From one alleyway, 18 women came out wearing them. Amar of Yehuda Marav, Amar of Shmuel. Right, some Rishonim have a different girsa here because Shmuel is never called Rav Shmuel unless this is somebody else. Some say it's really Amar Rav. Either way, Kamra shari. Kamra is mutter. What is a Kamra? Some type of fancy belt. It's mutter to wear that out. Ika da amri da ruksa. Some say it means it's a belt, like we said before. It has fancy stones woven into the material. The Amar of Safar, midi da havi a talus musheves, like a talus, which have golden stones sewn on. The Ika da amri da anischa. Some say no, it means mamishe, a golden belt. The Amar of Safar, midi da havi avni shamalachim, like kings wear. Amalei ravina la ravashi, kimri ilave hemyana mai. Am I allowed to wear this fancy belt on top of a regular belt? Amalei, treyam yani kamrit. Two belts, you said? So what did that mean? So Rashi has 2 days. Either, no, that's for sure masui, and you can't. Or, no, it's mutter, it's just 2 belts, and they're both helping. Okay, 2 days. Amar Ravashi, hi resuka. That resuka, some type of, translated as a corset that a woman wears. I isle mafrach yasa, if it has loops and it's connected, and there's no chash that it's going to fall down, shari, it's mutter to wear it out. Vilo aser, and if not, it's aser. Velo bakatzla, my katzla, menakta pare. Like we said before, some type of choker, a bib that women wear. Nizamim nizmei ha'af, nose rings. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, we will continue. Hashem, everybody should have a good in Shabbos.